This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up? What's up? What's going on, y'all, out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, it is yours truly, LP. Was gone for a quick second. Just didn't have time to pod last week, but we back this week. Same familiar refrain about the Bengals. We're going to jump into that. And then I just got some odds and ends for real. Like, I don't really know how to classify the second part. It's, you know, that whole sports and life podcast that I talk about. I'm hitting the life part, so you know how life is. It's really just odds and ends of experiences that you put together, and bang, that's life, y'all, for real. So we're gonna jump into that, man. The Bengals 2-3. Look, I'm gonna hit y'all with some stats. Y'all know I'm not that stat geek. I'm not the stat nerd, for real. But when you think about this, it's mind-blowing that the Bengals are 2-3. Check this out, y'all. The Bengals have not given up a second-half touchdown. In 5 games, the Bengals have only given up field goals in the second half. Real talk. Like, I'm not making this up. I'm dead serious. The Bengals have not given up a second-half touchdown. And they 2-3. The Bengals have not given up more than 23 points in a game this year. And they 2-3. I'm not making this up. Go down the list. You'll see 15 points they gave up, 12 points they gave up, 23 points they gave up, 19 points they gave up. Like, it's wild. A team with the firepower that the Bengals have, I could just rattle off the names, but y'all know who it is, man. Y'all know who the Bengals got balling for them. And they 2-3. This is not me jumping off the bandwagon. If I could stay on the bandwagon through the 90s, you feel me? If I could be a little kid rolling with the Bengals, wearing my Bengals gear everywhere, wearing it when I'm up in Columbus and Cleveland in the summer, even though we was like trash, like trash can runky trash, you feel me? If I can still fly the flag after that, I can ride through a 2-3. Like, I can. And you know the refrain is, oh, the Bengals trash now. Nah, man. This is why I feel like a broken record when I say this, but I'm always telling people this. In the NFL, games are not decided by this big glob of a 60-minute contest. Every play matters, but there are about 5 or 6 plays in the game that will tell you who wins the game. The Bengals have not been winning those plays, and they're not winning the games. Last year, the Bengals were winning these close games, consistently pulling out nail biters, because the Bengals were winning those 5 or 6 plays in the game. And right now, they're not. I mean, the NFL is such a parity-driven league. You know, you move too far this way, you don't gain a yard or two this way, and you're on the wrong side of a 19-17 L. You make that correct play call, you get that touchdown, you get that stop, and you win 21-16, and everybody's like, man, the Bengals are back. That's just the nature of the game, man. Very rarely will you see a blowout in the NFL. That's why when you see it, everybody like, dang, they did them boys dirty. Because you just don't see it. You don't see 38-3 like what happened to the Steelers. You don't see that every day. Even when the Bengals were, yeah, when the Bengals was trash, we was getting dead like that. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not gonna hold you up. But everybody's screaming, you know, Zach Taylor needs to give up the play calling duties and blah, blah, blah. Not for real. We talking about the same play caller that called plays to get the Bengals to the Super Bowl. And you're about to cast him aside over a 5-game stretch? Like, that's ridiculous. Things like this happen. Bad play calls are made. I mean, you're not going to get perfection out of the 17-game season. You're not. It's very disheartening to see your squad run a double reverse to a pass when you at the 2-yard line. And this is the AFC North, home of hard-hitting football. And they going shovel pass, double reverse. Like, no. When you play the Steelers, this goes for the Steelers too, real talk. But when you play the Ravens, the objective of the Ravens is to basically tell you that they bullies. Like, they bigger than you, they stronger than you, and the Ravens want to show you that. The Bengals got the shiny toys and all that. You know, they got the wide receivers and all that. They got the nice running back. But what the Bengals did last year was they imposed their will on people. They was like, you're going to play our way because we're better than you. And I feel like the Bengals are getting away from that. You know, you hear the hype. You're like, you know, we're supposed to score 30-plus a game. And we're supposed to run up the score and get all of these yards. You know, you hear that and you keep hearing that. And you keep hearing that. And after a while, you kind of go like, okay, we out here. I mean, you know what we supposed to do, so why is it not happening? And the thing is, you got to do it. You know, you can get all the accolades. You can hear people telling you how good you are, but you got to go out there and consistently be what they say. I feel like the Bengals are in a good spot right now. I really do. And people call me crazy when I say that, man. Y'all 2-3. Like, yeah, true. The Bengals are 2-3. Man, what you going to do when they don't make the playoffs? They already started 2-3. But come on, man. It's 12 games left in the season, first off. The Bengals are 2-3. Not even looking at the stretch of games next. People say it's an easy stretch. I don't know about all that. Atlanta's going to be solid. Cleveland's in there. You know, Cleveland's going to play tough because they're in the same division as us. I'm not sleeping on New Orleans for real. They got some ballers over there. They can play. So for me, it's like, when will the Bengals decide to stop listening to all of the hype and just get back to what they do? That's really what it is for the Bengals. The Bengals have to stop listening to all of these pundits that's out there going like, yeah, well, the Bengals, they're going to put up 35. This is going to be one of the best offenses in the history of... Look, the Bengals excelled last year by staying focused on one game at a time. We got this L, however we had to do it. Now let's try to get another one. And let's stack wins on top of each other. That's really the goal here. There's no great team in the AFC. People say Buffalo is, and I agree. Buffalo is probably one of the best teams in the AFC. But you put Buffalo on a neutral field against any of the top 4 or 5 teams in the AFC, and you're going to have a really good game. I mean, Buffalo is not just running away with this, real talk. The Bengals have to find a way to stack wins together and just get back to playing solid complementary football, because it would be a damn shame for this defense to ball out the way it's balling out right now and for them to go into the bye week 4-5 or something like that. That would be messed up because, and this is just for me coaching middle school basketball. Like, I saw this happen all of the time. When you have one segment playing well and the other one not playing as well, it starts to eat away at the entire team. If you're going to have a defense balling out, but the offense can't get over the 22-point mark, And so the defense feels like they have to get a stop every single drive, which is impossible in the NFL, y'all. You're not seeing shutouts in the NFL. It's not happening, especially with the kickers being able to kick from like 68 yards out this piece. Like, it's not happening. So the defense needs to feel like, okay, we gave up 7 right here, but our boys gonna get it back. So we just got to buckle down and hold them down. If you don't start getting that within the team frame, this season gonna go to hell, man, for real. I feel like these next 3 games are gonna be very vital. Wins and losses are very important. I mean, they are. We're talking NFL. We're talking professional. You know, you want to get the wins. But it's going to be important to see if the Bengals can play complementary football from here on out. If the offense can hold the defense down the way the defense is holding the offense down. Because I've had teams in middle school, man, they couldn't shoot a lick. Like, real talk. In this middle school, you know, you got to coach them up because they're not a finished product, man. You can't be out there yelling at 7th graders for not having proper form. You got to teach it to them. But I learned quickly that if I can get this team that can't really play offense well, if I can get them to really, really focus on playing defense, to understand how to play a zone aggressively, how to run a press, stuff like that. If I could get them to take pride in that, the offense will come. We'll get turnovers. We'll get layups. They'll learn how to shoot better and better throughout the year. But if I can get them to take pride in playing solid defense, we'll have a good year. And I feel like the Bengals need to get to that. Our defense, is what the Bengals should be saying, is extremely strong. We need our offense to help out our defense. And once they kind of get on that mind frame, things will just take off. And I'm sure they're thinking it. I'm sure they're like, I mean, dude, what you think we talking about in the locker room, LP? Like, like, what you really think this is? It's just one of those things where it's just going to take a while. Crazy as it sounds, things take time. I honestly, real talk, I see the Bengals pulling out the next 3 games. I see them rolling up to 5-3. The AFC North, don't let people tell you that it's trash. What you're seeing is parity. So the Bengals got to start winning some of these divisional games for real. I feel like as slept on as New Orleans kind of is to me, I feel like the Bengals are about to like really inflict some pain on the Saints, y'all. Like, I got 33-14 as my final. Don't ask me how they get 33 points. I'm just telling you, like, in my premonition, right, I saw 33 beam into me, and then I saw 14 under it, and then I saw Bengals next to the 33 and Saints next to the 14. This is what happened. So that's my call. 33-14 Bengals. I will be looking very closely at how the Bengals come out in the first quarter. Because the first quarter is killing the Bengals, y'all. Like, for real, it's killing the Bengals. They got to start out faster. But 33-14, that's where I'm at with that. The refs calling some BS out here with the roughing the passer things. We saw some crazy calls, y'all. Tom Brady took a sack, rolled over, tried to kick the Atlanta Falcons player. And the 15-yard flag come out on the Falcons player on a third down when the Falcons got the stop and when they got the ball back. But, this might be real teacherly of me to say something like this, but it's the honest truth, y'all. Players mess up. Refs mess up. Like, I've employed a slew of referees in my basketball league. And I've seen them make mistakes. They're not going to say during the game, like, yeah, I messed that up. Some of them actually will, which is real cool. But you got to understand that they're human. They're going to make a mistake or two. What you can't do as a league is go like, well, you know, they're making mistakes on the rough and the passer thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to tweak the rules and make it so that you can do a flag review. You can do a challenge on a rough. No. you can't be reactionary. Like, you got to be proactive. You can't be reactive. You have to be able to understand that this is a small segment of bad calls. We saw two or three bad roughing the passer calls. And we saw mass roughing the passer calls where you just leaned back in your chair and went like, dude just did some dumb stuff. Why would you hit the quarterback when he already got the ball out of his hand? Why would you hit the quarterback low when you know you can't do that? You can't be reactionary as a league. I mean, I feel like that's the same thing that happened with the, what was that? With the overtime rules, y'all. Like, I really feel like the league just got too reactionary, especially after that Kansas City-Buffalo game where everybody wanted the game to go on for 15 hours. And then, like, they both got hurt shoulders from throwing 27 touchdown passes. And we want the game to go on forever. It was such a great game. It got ruined by a call, by a coin flip. Man, please. The rules were perfect as they were. Both teams had a chance to possess the ball unless the team that got the ball first scored a touchdown. How hard is that? Like, you telling me that the person flipped the coin, get the ball, and they go like, okay, we about to score a touchdown. And then they score a touchdown, and you salty about that because you didn't get a chance to score? What kind of sense does that make? None. For real. Well, no, it's not fair. We should get a chance to get the ball, too. Hold them to a field goal. It's not that easy. You've been doing it for 60 minutes. Like, so now the rules got to change, and both teams got to get the ball because you can't stop a team that you've been trying to stop all day long. Like, what if the score is 10-10? Meaning both teams score one touchdown. You can't hold them out the end zone one time for your squad to get the ball back. And the overtime rules were beyond trash before, y'all. Like, they were but. Whoever got the ball first could kick a field goal and end the game. That was trash. Because you're taking an entire unit off the field. Like, you're leaving every game in the hands of a kicker when it goes to overtime. That's trash. Now, I mean, what if you're a team like Dallas and your squad excels at defense? Would it necessarily be bad for you to have your defense out on the field? You got Diggs on the other side. You get that interception, and you back in business. That's what happened with the Bengals in overtime against the Chiefs. The Chiefs got the ball first. The Bengals got the interception. The Bengals were in business, and they kicked the field goal to win the game because their defense took the ball away from the offense. I mean, I just don't like when bad things happen, all of a sudden people want to change everything. We do that for serious events. You know, somebody gets hurt crossing the street. You change everything for that because that's serious. You're walking down your stairs and you step on a nail. You're doing something about that staircase. That's serious. A bad roughing the passer call? Is that serious enough in the NFL landscape to change everything about that call? No, it's not. If it becomes an epidemic, if it happens week after week after week, then you change something. But come on, y'all. We can't just flip the whole script just because of two bad calls over a weekend. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it messed up those games. Yeah, those referees should get a stern talking to. But are we really about to fire folks for making a mistake on the job? Is that what you want? You want us to fire you when you make a mistake on the job? Well, if it's serious enough, there'll be repercussions for you, right? They probably won't involve you losing your job unless it's super duper duper serious. But if you make mistakes on the job, man, come on. You're going to want a little bit of mercy because you made a mistake. You don't do that all the time, right? Exactly. I'm sure those referees are thinking the same thing. Now, if we keep seeing it from the same referee week after week after week, then we deal with that ref. It becomes an epidemic throughout the whole league. Then we deal with it. But come on, y'all. Let's not lose our ever-loving stuff because of a couple mistakes. And I'm not trying to downplay it. I know it really messed up the chances of the... I was about to call them L.A. Man, moved so many times. It messed up Vegas' chances. It messed up Atlanta's chances. But in a vacuum, that needs to be dealt with internally, y'all. For real. Because mistakes are going to happen. You playing a human sport. I mean, we rely on humans to make calls. Unless we want to start using robots for everything. I mean, what, they delivering food now? Like, I saw something where drones was delivering food. So, it's slowly but surely getting there. We got the strike zone being called by robots. Automation is taking over. It's wild out here. And we about to be playing tag football in a minute, y'all. Hey, like, would you really watch the NFL if it was flag football? Like, real talk. We getting close to that. And I'm not really ready to talk about the whole head injury Tua thing yet. I will soon, but I got a lot to say, and it's going to be like a whole episode on its own. But we are getting to the point where we dancing along that line where we're going to end up taking tackling out of football. And people going to say that they hate it. Oh, my God. It's not even football. But you're going to watch. I guarantee you, if there was no tackling in football and it was just, I don't know, two-hand touch or flag, you would still watch. Guaranteed. Quote me on it. You wouldn't walk away from your Sundays watching the Bears or the Bengals or the Panthers or the Patriots or whatever team you have plastered on your front lawn right now, or the cozies that you got holding your beer. You're not going to go away from that because they stopped tackling. Like, football is ingrained in you, man. Like, it's America's game. You will still watch football if the tackling is not there. I'm not saying I want that. Like, I'm not saying just yank it out. But we getting there. Like, you look at the safety of the players. Look at me. Y'all got me going already, man. See, I'm gonna end up making this go like an hour and a half. Like, we'll jump into that, man. Like, I got strong feelings on it. We'll jump into that in another episode. Whoo! Oh, this is just me being tired, y'all. Like, I won't say it was a rough weekend. It wasn't one of those weekends where you go like, oh, my God. Like, when I have a rough weekend, normally the sentence goes like, well, I had to help a friend move. Something like that. Or I had to write these papers for my class and there was no way I could do them during the week. So I spent my weekend writing papers. Like, those are rough weekends for me, especially moving people. Man, once people find out you got like a truck or something with seven seats where the seats go down. Once they find that out, man, you are in danger. Listen to me. Silverado owner, hey, you Ford truck pickup guy / girl, don't tell people what you rolling in. Like, duck that off, keep it to yourself. Like, you know, people don't need to know all that. Once people know that you got room and space and they don't need to rent a U-Haul, man, they tapping you up. I don't answer phones on the weekends. Like, forget that. Like, and then try to hit you up like 3 months in advance or something like that. Hey, LP, man, what's up? What you up to, man? What you getting into December 8th? y'all think of a lie real quick. Like, I don't even plan that far out, man. Well, if you ain't got nothing going on, man, I need you to know if you can help me move. You still got your Dodge Journey, right? Man, see, I'm a business. Like, are you vehicle watching? Like, those are rough weekends for me. This weekend wasn't really rough. I just overdid Friday and it seeped into Saturday. And then Sunday was like the only day where I felt like me. Because Friday, hey, shout out to all my New York Undercover folks. My New York Undercover fam. We two seasons deep into season four, man. And Torres and got blown up by the crazy Jordan chick. And now they took everybody out of the show except for two people. And we just spent two straight hours watching New York Undercover, just roasting it, just giving it to this shell of a show that was before. Like, that's basically what we did. I'm just leaning into it, man. I'm finding memes I ain't even used in a minute. It's just bad. But you watch it because you cared about the first three seasons so much. Plus, you got to see it through. Even though it's trash, you kind of forget why it was so trash. Then it start coming back to you. I'm consuming adult beverages while I'm doing this. I'm not really keeping count because the show is trash. And I'm laughing at all the nutcases in the group just going to town. Like, it was wild. So I wake up Saturday morning just on my face. Like, migraine just kicking the mess out of me, y'all. Like, it's just booting me in the behind. Like, dummy, idiot, dummy. I'm like, but I kind of sort of forgot that I had to chaperone my youngest kid to her best friend's birthday party at a trampoline park. Man, I tell you, I held up the wall so tough. And they just kind of looking at me like, hey, you okay? Like, you know, do you want to jump? I'm like, look, man, if I jump, everybody will see what last night looked like. Like, y'all don't want these problems, especially in the age of, you know, coronavirus, because it's still there. You don't want me diving in this ball pit, bouncing around. And it's over. Party shut down. Y'all hosing down the ball pit. Y'all laughing at the kid's dad who couldn't hold in the pizza. It was just wild. I think I finally got over it. Man, what time was it? Like, I don't know, 5, 6 p.m.? By that time, the day close to over. I'm just happy to feel sane again. And Sunday, I'm just kind of chilling. Knocked out a little paper real quick. Hey, watch what you're doing when you're sipping the adult beverages, all right? It don't really matter the potency once you hit, you know, LP's big age, you feel me? Like, because you start putting 2, 3 away, and next thing you know, you like, dang, where am I? What happened? Who did this? Stop yelling. Nobody's yelling. Why you sound so loud? Because you dumb. Oh, yeah, you right. Hey, but I don't usually give BET shout-outs because they piss me off as a television company because of what they could be. Like, I think of awesome concepts with BET every day. And I'm like, if I think of them, and I got like a full-time job, you know, a career, and kids, and married, I got all this stuff going on, I still got time to think of this awesome stuff that take y'all like 12 years to put together. And then by the time y'all do it, it's trash. Like, so then y'all don't do it again for another 12 years. I mean, it's wild. But I got to give it to BET for this one. Pulling out the New York Undercover, you know, it's so many people's childhood. It's so many people's first glimpse of seeing, you know, like, cop life from a minority point of view and seeing, like, the family aspects and all that. You know, to bring that back and to actually run all four seasons, even though season four is a train wreck, it kind of shows that, you know what, we're trying to put out some content that people will actually consume instead of what used to be just 95% videos, which turned into the Tyler Perry Network. Like, at least they're trying to kind of bring in their fan base. So, shout out to them for that. That's where we at Fridays from 9 to 11. So, come through. Watch us count how many toothpicks JC done popped in his mouth. Like, yeah, we really be on that, man. So, shout out to everybody. If you listening, you in the group, man, get at me. And other than that, go Bengals. Oh, go FC Cincinnati. In the playoffs for the first time ever in the history of foreverness in the MLS. And, like, we really have been watching soccer, man. Like, we in the house Saturday night. Like, the wife is like, hey, FC Cincy on. I'm like, oh, let's get to that. I'm like, this hasn't been that house before. We've never done that. But, you know, and the city's been a little more soccer crazy as FC Cincinnati's kind of gained popularity. But the fact that they're actually balling and playing well, it makes you want to see what happens next. Hey, if I can get tickets, man, like, if they happen to get a home game and I can get tickets, I'm there. Like, it's actually a good value, too, and it's fun. I got a lot of homies that have been to a few FC Cincy games. They say the atmosphere is ridiculous. Like, real talk. Yeah, they put the stadium in the hood, and we were salty about that, especially, you know, because we ripped and ran downtown for, like, years and years on the West End. And we go down there now, we look at the West End and go, like, whose spot is this? If you see In Too Deep, that's the West End that I know. Like, where you got Lincoln Courts up there next to the Regal and all that. That's the West End I know. So seeing the West End, like, all spiffy and seeing it all gentrified and whatnot, I'm like, But I got to get a club credit for putting a lot back into it as well. Building up urban squads and all of that, and doing a lot of youth building movements, and not just for the folks out there in the suburbs, but for folks down in the city where they built the stadium at. So I'm like, I gotta give it to y'all for that, because you didn't just take a lot out, but you put a lot in too. So it kind of makes you, it makes you respect that they respect the culture. So hey, go FC Cincy, pace New York Red Bulls, and let's see where we at after that. On that note, we're going to go ahead and roll out. You know where I'm at every Tuesday. It was low-key Wednesday for the last couple of weeks, but we back on the program now. So, y'all know what it is. Y'all know who we be. Hey, man, appreciate y'all coming by and checking me out. And as always, life is good. Peace out.
You're not ready for the conversation to end? I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy fan talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.